There and welcome to another episode of Tech Empowered, the podcast where we share real stories of people whose lives have been transformed by technology across Africa and beyond. This podcast is brought to you by Tech for Dev. Tech for Dev is a non-profit organization creating opportunities for economic prosperity through digital skills empowerment and advocacy. I am your host, Yemisi, and I am so glad that you're joining us today. Every week on Tech Empowered, we spotlight people who have dared to step into the world of tech, people who took a chance on themselves, learned new skills, and built careers that once felt out of reach. There's a saying that leadership isn't just about titles. It often begins with a simple desire to learn, to grow, and to lift others up as you rise. For our guest today, that desire to learn led her from studying economics to discovering product management. Through the Women Texas Fellowship, she grew from a curious learner into a confident product manager, and now she's paying it forward by mentoring others and giving back to her community. Today on the podcast, will you hear how Virtue Anosike made that transition, what she learned along the way, and how she's using her skills to make an impact. So sit back, settle in, and let's get right into the conversation for today. Hi, Virtue. Thank you so much for joining us on Tech Empowered.
Hi, Yemisi. Thanks so much for having me. Such a great privilege.
Awesome, fantastic. Okay, so let's get it right into the conversation. But let's start from the beginning. Let's meet Virtue. Who is Virtue? Tell us a bit about your background. How would you describe yourself and what drives you every day?
Okay, all right. So you've said my name already and what I do. I'm Virtue Anosike and I'm a product manager. Sometimes I dabble into writing and research. So what drives me every day? Just wanting to be a better person and of course wanting to just live a soft life. That's why I wake up every morning. There are persons I've already told I'm going to spoil when I make money, so I definitely So having to wake up every morning to ensure that that promise is fulfilled, that's definitely my driving
Fantastic. That's great motivation. Okay,
point.
so you studied economics, which is quite a shift from that to product management. What first pulled you towards tech, and when did you realize that this might actually be your path?
Okay. All right. So I think I'll probably want to first correct something. You said this might probably be my path. Probably. Thank God you used the word probably because I might wake up tomorrow and say maybe it's not just my path, but for where I am right now. So what pulled me into it is, I mean, there's always been the tech buzz right from when I was in college, even up to now, there's still the whole tech buzz. But I started in 20, was it 2019 or 2020? I wanted to get into tech. I wanted to do something. I was still in college then I wanted to do something. I'm not a business person. I've never liked business. And I realized that so business could not be my thing, but I needed to do something. And then there was a tech buzz, right? And also I was volunteering with a crypto company then. So it just made sense to go into tech. And then I didn't also know about the whole realizing the non-technical aspect of tech. Product management is technical as well, but the non-technical aspect of tech. So I decided to learn front end and I reached out to a friend of mine then. He was also a front end engineer, or rather, he was an engineer, front end, back end. He gave me some videos to watch, and that also was end of 2019 up until 2020. There was COVID, so I was watching, I was learning the whole front end, but it just wasn't sticking. I don't know, it just wasn't sticking. I mean, I love math in secondary school, but the codes I was seeing and everything just always give me headaches every day. And I reached out to him one day. I was like, I can't do front end. I can't do anything coding. So that I left it at that. And then when I was going to graduate around 2023, I decided that okay, I want to do something. And he gave me like different non-technical aspects of tech I could get into, but product management, but like, it felt a little bit aligned with what I do. I love finding the connection between a lot of things, right? And I studied, like you mentioned, I studied economics in college, and I wanted to go into HR when I was in economics because to some extent I love managing people, right? And so I was like, why don't I just do this in tech? And with the way it was, a lot of people describe product management. Oh, you're managing people, you're people's boss. To some extent, I like that feeling of being in charge, you know? Get it. So I was like, you know what, I can do this in tech, even though I discovered that's not what it is. But yes, so I just had to find like an alignment, a connection between economics, between wanting to be an HR, and it just made sense to go into product management. And I think I even talked about it during my motivation video when submitting application for the Women Tech Stars Fellowship. So yeah, that's what led me into tech and product management.
Fantastic. Thank you for that background. So you applied for the Women Tech Stars Fellowship, you joined the fellowship without a tech background, and the fellowship is known to be very intensive and very, very hands-on. What was that initial learning curve like for you? Were there any moments where maybe you doubted yourself, and how did you overcome those moments?
Oh, a lot. In fact, there was a time where I wanted to drop out and I wasn't really studying for grade for my study group. So it was a lot because, like you said, the friendship is very, very intense. But one thing I'm glad is that I'm glad I was not in school. I was done with school by then because I don't know how I would have managed it. I mean, there are a lot of persons that were in school and managed it, but personally, I don't think I know how I would have managed it. And also having to show up every day, even though your study group members are relying on you for motivation as well, when you are not motivated, that was also another thing, right? But I mean, coming from a non-technical background, it's just because, okay, prior to when I applied for the Women Tech Stars Fellowship, I identified that then in like some basics on product management. I reached out to my friend, like I mentioned. He sent me a drive folder of different books to read. He mentioned a lot of terms. I was, yeah, I remember I was mentioning things like ClickUp, Miro, Dwork, Jira. I was like, why in the world are product name? Why is the product name Miro? Like, it did not even make any sense to me, right? But when I started applying, I was like, oh, so this is what Miro is used for. Oh, it now started making sense. So having to like just feeding my mind with a lot of knowledge in that sense, and then I having to now learn or understand what exactly I have even been learning or reading about helped me. But then also there was the part where I remember Blessing always kept saying, oh, if you don't complete your fellowship, you're going to owe us, you're going to pay $3K. I was like, I don't have $3K now to pay. So that was the motivation. I was not forget that. That was the motivation for me not to give up. So yeah, that was it.
So looking back on your time in the fellowship, what were some of the moments that stood out the most? Maybe a breakthrough, or maybe like a challenge you overcame, or a project that made you think, wow, I think I can actually do this. Were there any moments like that?
Oh yes, they were. Shout out to our coach Oz. So we usually had breakout sessions during classes. Sometimes she also gives us study group take-home assignments and individual assignments. So I remember one particular assignment she gave to us as was it as a study group. Then we did it and we failed woefully. Yes, it was a case study assignment and we failed woefully. And she was like, this is not it. She gave us examples of ones that the groups that passed and how we should improve ourselves. And we did, I can't forget that day. It was in December. I remember it was, in fact, it was the night before my graduation. We were walking all through the night to ensure that we like understand and get what she asked of us, right? So we didn't sleep till like 2 a.m. because all of us were on the call trying to make sense of what exactly we're supposed to do. And then we submitted it that day, and she was like, wow, this is a very, very massive improvement. In fact, the message she gave, the comment she gave, in fact, it was so lovely. And I felt, I was like, oh wow, this is something that we can actually, this is something that we can do. That for me was a starting point. Then also our capstone project, I'm really proud of it. I mean, we didn't ship, we didn't build as how we would have wanted to, but I'm really proud of what we did during the capstone project, having to work across different teams and also the PM that led us then, Virtue, she's also my namesake. I'm really proud of it. So yes, those two key moments were actually it for me.
Fantastic. So, were there like any lessons or maybe skills or anything that you took from those moments that has stayed with you even now as you're working as a product manager?
Okay, yeah. So I mentioned about having to stay up just to ensure that we achieve something. I think that was it stretched me. Those times stretched me. So looking at it now, I'm like, oh, if I could do it then, I definitely can do it now, and I can even do it better than I did
That's
it
a
then.
good point.
But those learnings, I took it with me right now, and also the part of, will I say, leading a team. I mean, leading a team sounds, it's, well, I say it sounds vague, and it sounds like something that maybe a lot of persons feel like they can do. But when you get into it, you realize that it is not as simple as it looks. During our capstone project, we had a lot of people, persons that had classes, schools, commitments, a lot of persons that just don't know how to communicate. You had to rely on different people for different tasks. I won't write front end or I won't design, right? And those things were dependent on the project. So having to see a way to mitigate all those things, the place where I am right now, I'm thankful that I experienced that, and even where I am right, also grateful experience to communicate, having to stretch yourself to ensure that you achieve what exactly is needed and what is expected of you. Those are things that I'm grateful for that Tech for Dev taught me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, so one of the things that makes the Women Tech Success community so special is how collaborative it is. I mean, we've had people just talk about how much support they got from just having like other women within the program as well, and even when they made it into the alumni community. So for you, what role did that sense of community, mentorship, or peer support play in your growth?
Oh yes. So even during the fellowship, I'm going to start from during the fellowship and then even transitioning to now that I'm in the alumni community. I will always still keep making reference to being a study group lead. Like I mentioned, there are times where I was really tired, and then my study group members will come to my DM and be like, "Virtue, we can see how much you're working. We really appreciate you." That sense of community in that sense, and also the fact there are times when my study group members were not around, and had to not intentionally check up on them. Because I'm like, okay, to some extent, I'm responsible for this person. I volunteered to do this. So if I decided to volunteer for something that I'm not even getting paid for, right? Then I should give it that commitment that it deserves. So yeah, so it's helped me to stay accountable. It also helped me to ensure I also looked out for other persons. So the relationship, or having to, this person reaches out to me that, "Oh, Virtue, I can't make it for class today. This is why." You try to understand solving problems that you did not even know exist, or you didn't even know they are supposed to be in your purview, right? Also, in terms of now the alumni community, oh my goodness, I also like making reference to the mentorship. I got into one of the mentorships for product management, and the ladies I was in the mentorship with, after every mentorship session, we always had like an internal call to come and to talk about how product management is in our different industries and roles, and just seeking support and help. You can put out something on the alumni community, and within minutes, you've gotten the help you need. So
Fantastic.
I mean, it's very wonderful. The community is very wonderful, and I'm really grateful for it. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I mean, we're really proud of the community that, I've been able to sort of build especially with the Women Techstars program. That's like top three things that people always point to say, oh, this is one of the amazing things about being a part of, the Women Techstars program, either the fellowship or the boot camp, whatever program that you participate in. So I'm really glad that you're finding support from the community. Okay, so fast forward to now, you've transitioned from being a fellow, you're now working as a product manager. What was it like stepping into your first role? Handling real world problems, were there any surprises or lessons that you didn't expect?
A word I will use to describe it, or two words I will use to describe it, is confusion, lack of clarity. Those are the two words I will use to describe it.
Okay, explain.
Okay, right. So I've had the technical knowledge. Let me give you've had the technical knowledge. You've had you've worked with teams, or whether you worked with the team in, I was in product management, so a lot of things we did was just products, working amongst ourselves. Just only the capstone where we had to work with like different teams, right? But then you have a lot of head knowledge, and you step into a role, a real life role, or rather a real world role, right? And it's just like, what I'm seeing here is different from what is in the textbook, what I have learned. Right, as Nigerians, we are used to, oh, just read, cram, pour it out and that's it. But what I've learned in this fellowship, as much as it is the head knowledge, but the applicability of it was totally different. And also, I think it also depends on the organization you're in, because my first role was in a startup. And I did not, I'm so used to just only things in product management, but they didn't tell you that in startups, you do everything. I joined the marketing call, I did the sales call, I was running campaigns. So it was just, what exactly is my role in this company, right? But yes, so it was really confusing at first. But like you mentioned again, it's the community and also reaching out for help. So you can never go wrong. People always say that you can never go wrong with asking questions. And to be very honest, you can actually never grow up with asking questions. If you keep asking persons, there's something my mentor said, the mentor from Tech for Dev, Hilary Liu, she said that you are probably just 7 persons away from like the help you need. Let's say if you need to reach, for example, Mark Zuckerberg, right? You can have, maybe for example, I can start with her. If you ask 7 persons, maybe you know someone, the person knows someone, 7 persons, and you probably have a contact to Mark Zuckerberg, right? Mm. So you have to just keep asking questions. You also get confused. That's very normal. Like, confusion is part of it, right? So, and then there's some people always say you learn on the job, which is very, very, which I believe, and which is very, very true. So learn on the job. Ensure to embrace the learnings that comes with job. But then also don't dismiss what you have, because the practical, or rather the head knowledge you have, will come in handy. But when it comes to your first role, don't worry, confusion is part of it. So you will definitely be confused, but over time, actually, you would now see that, oh, these things I was learning, all those North Star metrics, all those DIRA, all those stakeholder management, the head knowledge, you now have to apply it. So we are, so you know, we get to know a lot of knowledge, but now the applicability is now what is now needed of you, right? So but I mean, it's, that's the whole fun part of learning anyways, getting to know it and getting to have to know how to experiment and then apply it in your lens. So
the same people say about the more you do, the better you are, right? The better you become.
Yes.
You have the knowledge, and then applying it just makes you stronger. Right, strengthens you with the knowledge and then the skills, how you apply the things that you've learned and things like that. So I mean, confusion is part of it. I agree with you.
I'm still running away from the learnings too. I was having that, I keep mentioning I was having a conversation, because I'm always asking questions. I'm always reaching out to my friends. I was having a conversation with my friend yesterday, Matthew, and he told me that we shouldn't run away from things. I mean, some things might seem hard now, but if you look at it in the next 3-6 months, you'll be like, oh, was I really running away from this thing? So just embrace everything that comes with the learning. So some things that look challenging in that sense, you should just see it as a learning experience for you, because you'll be thankful that you did anyways. So yes.
Fantastic. That's very astute. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so since starting your career, how has product management changed you in terms of the way you think, maybe solve problems, or maybe even opportunities that have opened up to you as you have started your career?
That's a very good question, because I realized that I have also changed. I realized that I have actually changed as a person, right? So if I use a product, a tech product now, for example, the first thing I'm thinking of is, is this thing really simple to use? How simple is it to use? What's the UX? Like, can I understand? Do I need someone to walk me through this product first off to be able to even understand what it does? Then I'm also thinking about the business part of it. So there are times, like, as a person, I test software products, right? But because I'm so used to the whole product thinking, and I'm asking, how do you make money? What's the profit? How do you make your revenue and things like that? So I'm always thinking about, oh, what's the profit? Did you speak to users about it? I'm asking, were they users? Was there any research done? What do you think about it? So I'm always asking questions that I feel like, I won't say the average person doesn't ask, but you won't necessarily want to ask it. You just want to use the product and get done with it. But I'm going through the product. I'm trying to break. I'm trying to see what will happen if I impute a wrong pin. I'm just trying to test different use cases and edge cases. So that's actually how it has changed me as a person, because I'm in the product space, I'm thinking of, oh, how do users accept it? What do users think about it? I'm going online to quickly check. Even if it's a movie I watch, I'm going online to quickly check. What are people saying about this? Is it, I'm
About
not a
it.
social media manager, right? But I'm still saying, is this thing trending? What are the reviews, the good and the bad things? Have the company responded? Just things in general that you'd be like, you should care about what your customers are saying about your product and what the pro how the product actually solves your customers' problem. So yeah, it has actually changed me a lot.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. So for women listening right now who might be thinking, I'm not technical enough, or it's too late for me to learn anything new, what would you say to them? What's your advice for taking that very first step into tech?
Okay, so the first thing is that if you intend to live for, let's say, the next 1 or even 2 years, right? If it was late for you then, in the next 2 years, you will still think it's late for you. And if you're planning to live long, I mean, it's still going to be late in the next 10 years. So you should just better start now. Because the 4 years, the 10 years will still elapse, the 6 months will still elapse, whether you like it or not, right? So what is the change that you have made between then, when you thought about starting it but not doing it, and the next 6 months? The time has gone, right? But nothing has happened, nothing drastic has changed. And also, another thing is get yourself a community. Women Tech Stars community, I'll keep mentioning it, and you know you've said it already. The Women Tech Stars community is a blessing. It's is a blessing. So get yourself a like-minded community like Women Tech Stars Fellowship. You have women there. So if you're scared of, oh, it's a man's world, it's not a man's world, it's whatever you make of it. But if you're still scared that it's a man's world, of course you can't dispel this thought or your view over time, but just get yourself in a community. Like Women Tech Stars Fellowship, there are different women, there are different people there from different walks of life, different nationalities. So when you get to start hearing from them, getting to even start interacting with them, that your view of course will change over time. But just even being in that community, there's something that community does. So just being around the community would help you. And again, please don't be listening to those things that tell you it's a women's world, it's not a woman's world. You can do whatever you set your mind to do anyway. So just start now and join a community. I will make emphasis to the women community because this is Women Tech Stars. So join a women community. It will help you a lot. The opportunities I've gotten, the opportunities that they share in the Women Tech Stars community, I will just leave it there.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, a good question to ask yourself is, who do I want to be in the next 6 months? Who do I want to be in the next 1 year? So if anything is keeping you from making a particular decision, just think about it. If I don't make this decision, who do I want to be in the next 1 year? And that should be like a guide to realizing that there are some decisions that you have to make regardless. And also find a good community that will support you and push you to keep going. Thank you so much, Rachu, for sharing that. Okay, so my final question to you is, what's one fun fact about Rachu?
Fun fact about me. Well, it will be boring to a lot of persons. I love reading the dictionary. Not I love reading books, don't get me wrong, but I actually love reading hard copy dictionary. That Cambridge dictionary.
Interesting.
Yes.
How long have you had this interest? Is it like a new thing, or did you grow up loving
No,
to?
so there's actually a story behind it. Since I was
Okay,
in high
what's
school,
the
yes,
story?
I went for a competition in high school, and it was a competition organized by the Lagos State government. I don't like to this competition because it's too annoying me. Anyways, there was a tie between the third and the fourth position. Who was going to get the third and the fourth position? And apparently, we won for the third position, but it was nullified. So they gave us the fourth position and they gave the other school the third position. Now the third position came with a tablet. That's what they want. The fourth position came with a dictionary. So
Interesting.
I was really annoyed about it because it was so evident that it was cheating, but let's leave it at that. So because I was so angry that they gave those people a tablet and all I want was a dictionary that was, how much was dictionary then? Probably like 3,000, 4,000, and a tablet that was what, tens of thousands. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make good use of my dictionary. And I kept telling myself that those people's tablet is going to spoil, but my dictionary will last forever. And it still is, anyway. So,
Oh
yeah,
my God. So some
that's the
pettiness
family
and some
dictionary.
very
Yes, pettiness
Oh,
drove me to read a dictionary. Yeah.
And then you ended up liking it.
Yeah, actually, I always took out times every Sunday and read dictionary and always wrote out new words that I learned every Sunday. Even though I've not done that in a while, I just read a dictionary. But then when I was in high school, I used to write out the new words every time. So yes, so pettiness led me to read
Interesting.
dictionary.
Thank you for sharing that and also sharing the backstory behind that. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today.
It's
Virtue.
a privilege to do so. I'm grateful for the Women Tech Stars Fellowship and Tech for Dev as a whole.
Fantastic. We are happy to be a part of your journey and a part of your story, from stepping into the Women Texas Fellowship with no tech background to leading teams, building products, and inspiring others. And what stands out most about Virtue's story is her commitment to learning, to growth, and to giving back. And at Tech for Dev, that's exactly what we celebrate: individuals using technology not just to change their own lives, but to lift others as well. So, to everyone listening, remember the journey into tech doesn't start with perfection, it starts with curiosity. So, take that first step, no matter how small it is. That's all on today's episode of Tech Empowered. Don't keep this to yourself. Share it with someone who needs a little bit of encouragement. And subscribe if you haven't yet subscribed so you never miss an episode from us. I remain your humble host, Yemisi. And until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep believing in what's possible. See you on the next one.